Hey, everybody. Fran Frischella here, and welcome to World of Basketball, a podcast that takes you around the basketball world. And we've had some great guests from all over the basketball world so far. We've started in the United States, but we've been to Australia, New Zealand, Italy, Spain, Canada, and we'll continue to take you to those places where we just enjoy talking to people who have an international basketball connection, be it as a player, as a coach, or even as an executive. It's really cool for me. I love this game, and I certainly love the input that international basketball has had on a game I've grown up loving, so it's really cool. We got a special guest this week who was born in Siena, Italy. He is a dual citizen of the United States and Italy, and he's best known as being one of the best point guards in college basketball this past year. Nico Mannion of the University of Arizona, great high school player in Phoenix, had a very good freshman year at Arizona, and is about to embark on an NBA career whenever he is drafted. So we get into some great stuff about Nico, and before we bring him on, if you like what we're doing, please subscribe to this Apple podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and tell us what you like. And we're going to continue to bring you some fun and interesting guests from around the basketball world. And with that, I'm going to bring in my sidekick, Chris Tyler. And Chris, no more Greek Freak. The intrigue begins in Milwaukee as to whether he will sign the max deal when he's eligible for free agency here in a few months. And it's going to be very interesting. The Milwaukee Bucks, after having the best record in the NBA this year, you hate to say they flamed out, but they certainly were not the same team they were 4 or 5 months ago when the NBA season came to a grinding halt in March.
No, and it's disappointing to see last week, obviously, Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks got kicked out of the playoffs. Now we've got Giannis and the Bucks being kicked out of the playoffs. So a lot of these big international guys aren't going to be there at the pointy end of the playoffs, but we've still got some. We've still got Jokic kicking around for however long they can stay in the series for against the Clippers.
Yeah.
And then you got Zubac at the Clippers as well. There's still a bunch of other guys, but none of the heavy hitters. Not the two big guys, unfortunately, but that's all right.
No, you know, it's funny. As I watch these games, and we've talked about this before, it's amazing the influence of international players, even as great role players. I mean, I think Daniel Theis might be the most underrated player in the bubble right now.
Absolutely.
What he does for the Celtics, the young German big man, his ability to play defense, block shots, rebound, guard out on the perimeter, set screens, knock down short jumpers. I'm impressed with him. I think he's a large reason why the Celtics have had some success, but they're going to game 7 tomorrow night.
Decent clip as well. He's not a bad 3-point shooter. He's good enough that they have to respect his shot almost. He's not going to knock it down 40% of the time, but at least he's a guy who can knock it down enough that the defense has to actually guard him.
Yeah, no question about it. And Zubac, you mentioned, I think Jeff Van Gundy made a great point last night listening to that broadcast. Why the Lakers ever gave up on a young big man who's 7 feet with great hands, who has a good feel for the game, is beyond me. And the fact that he's crossed town now and teaming up with guys like Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. There's nights where he's not effective because of small ball, but there's other nights where he's playing up against another center like Jokic or Gasol, where I think he's really valuable. And been watching him since he was probably 17 years old. And the kid's got great hands. And just another one of those quietly successful role players on a good playoff team that we see throughout the league from international basketball, which is why it's so much fun to talk about these guys.
Yeah, and another guy that we should mention as well, especially because he gets a mention in this chat with Nico Mannion, is Goran Dragic for the Miami Heat, who, man, they're looking good. Beating the Bucks in the way that they did so comprehensively was unbelievable. And a lot of that was due, obviously, Jimmy Butler's a big part of it, but Goran Dragic is he had a big role in that series win as well.
Well, I love their team. I love their team. I love their tenacity. I love their culture. The culture has been set for, two decades now, plus, by Pat Riley. And to your point, Jimmy Butler has been, Jimmy's one of the top 15 to 10 players in the NBA, obviously. But I love the way Goran Dragic plays. I saw him play when he was 17 years old. The Slovenian junior national team, might have been an under-18 team, came to Dallas, Texas back in the, Goran's probably 31 or 32 now, so that would have been 15 years ago. And saw him in Dallas with his young teammates, and he's special. You know, there was a game in his second year, and he was in Phoenix, and it might have been against the Spurs, and it was his coming out party where he had 25 and a quarter. I think it was 25, could have been 26, wow. But it was in a playoff game in his second season, and wherever he's been rock solid, and certainly in Miami the last 5 or 6 years, he's been a mainstay for that team. And by the way, I love Tyler Hero too.
Tyler Hero can ball out. I think a lot of Celtics fans wanted him to drop to us in the draft a couple of years ago, but unfortunately that didn't happen. But he's a baller, man. He really is.
Yeah, no question. Well, speaking of ballers, we got one in Nico Mannion, outstanding freshman point guard at Arizona, who has moved on to the NBA draft. And you will hear some amazing stuff about being in a Sports Illustrated article at 15 years old as a young phenom. The fact that his mom is Italian, his dad played overseas in Italy. It's where Nico was born. And Nico is the third youngest player to play on the Italian national team. He told us that he plans to play for the Azzurri when he can for many years when it fits his NBA schedule. So lots of good stuff. Really mature young guy, and really down to earth, honest. And like a lot of these young guys, just waiting on the NBA draft, which continues to be moved back. But soon enough, he will be in an NBA uniform, and we get a great sense of who Nico Mannion is coming your way right now in this podcast. So enjoy. Hey, Nico, it's great to have you on our World of Basketball podcast.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on here.
Yeah, it's such a crazy time. Just tell me right now, with all the stuff going on, waiting to hear, what's your draft routine right now? What are you doing to stay ready?
Right. I mean, I never really missed a beat. Luckily, I have a house near my house that is it's really one of my friends' houses, and they kind of gave me full access. My trainer is always over there working few guys out now that the virus is here. But when the virus hit, everything out here closed. So that was really the only place I needed. And I was lucky to be able to get in there. So I never really missed a beat. I've been training since I got back, really took a week off after college. The college season ended, and then I've been going at it since then. There's a weight room down there too. So I've been blessed, really. I mean, it's been a rough time, but looking at it in a positive light, I've really been blessed to have that gym and be able to have my trainer come over there and still get my work in. So that's really all I've been up to. I mean, workouts in the morning, lift in early afternoon, and then try to get back in the gym and get some more shots up at night.
How are you staying connected with NBA teams? Have you started Zoom calls and things of that nature?
Yeah, you know, I had my first two Zoom interviews last week. So before that, I mean, I had a couple practice interviews just to be comfortable, and then had my first two last week, and they went really well.
So you've got one of the NBA's best agents, Bill Duffy, and given that this is an unprecedented time for all of us, how are you staying sane knowing that your former teammates are back at school at U of A? Mm-hmm. You don't know where you're going to go yet. You're watching these games in the bubble. How are you staying? How are you kind of keeping your wits knowing that, man, we should have had the draft 2 months ago?
Yeah. no, I mean, I joke with my family all the time. Like, man, I was only supposed to be here a couple weeks. and it's turned into 6 months. But, you know, I'm really lucky. I have a great family. They support me like no other. So it's good to be back here with them. And I know in the next couple of years, I'm not going to be able to spend as much time with them. So I'm cherishing that. But I mean, we're all in the same position. Everyone in the combine is in the same position. So really, I can't complain. And like you said, it's one of my biggest dreams. So I'm more anxious than anything. Just not knowing exactly when everything's going to happen. It's all so fluid right now, but I'm just excited. Just trying to take it day by day, and whatever comes.
Well, we're going to talk about your family in a little while, but I know your mom's got to be thrilled that you're home this much.
Yeah, no, she loves it. And I mean, we've had a good time. I mean, we're in the house quite a bit, playing cards, hanging out, watching shows, movies together. Yeah. It's been fun.
I mentioned Bill Duffy. He's probably one of the best in the business. I mean, Yao Ming, Steve Nash, all these guys, you know, through the years, he's got some of the best players in the league. Steve Nash, I think you've had some interaction with him as far as workouts. Just tell me about that and how he maybe have helped you so far.
Right. So I never got the chance to work out with him. I'm heading to LA this Sunday to go work out. I was going to work out with him and Kevin Durant, but luckily for him, he got the job. And congratulations to him. He got the job in Brooklyn. So I'm not going to be able to get in the gym with him, unfortunately. But I'll still be able to get in with KD. I've talked to Nash before. We had probably an hour and a half long call a couple months ago. And he was kind of just giving me some game, some knowledge. A big thing with him was taking care of his body. I think it was back issues pretty much his whole career. So he was kind of talking to me about just it's a long season when you get there. A lot of travel. He's like, so you just got to find what works for you and be able to take care of your body and make sure you're eating the right things, getting enough sleep. And as a 19-year-old, you don't think those things are very important until they really are. So, I mean, I kind of just want to be a step ahead and start taking care of those things now so they don't become an issue down the line, so that call was really, really helpful for me.
The In-N-Out burgers and stuff like that, you putting them on the side for
you gotta cut those out. Maybe once every yeah. once in a while.
I think you burn enough calories. I had a feeling you burn enough calories. Hey, that reminds me, you grew up in the Phoenix area. So when I think of the Phoenix Suns, I think of Jay Kidd and I think of Steve Nash. And those are two guys you had to have grown up watching play. Mm-hmm. How'd those guys influence you the way you play?
Right. I didn't see too much Jason Kidd. I'm sure I did. I was just so young. But Nash, I kind of got to see the end of his career. But I've watched so much film on him that it's like watching games pretty much. Me and my trainer could cut up film and just every bits and piece you can think of his game. And he was just so skilled. And being a small guard like that and being able to do as much as he did on the floor, it was incredible to watch. And I've learned a lot from watching him, just his patience and just the little things, like we call him Gretzky's. I don't know, he gets on the baseline and kind of just keeps his dribble alive and makes a play. Those things are just super impressive to me, and watching him has really helped my game. So I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I've always enjoyed about you is your ability to, you have athleticism. People don't think a kid with red hair might have that kind of athleticism, but you also have a good feel for the game. So I think that's probably a good guy to emulate. Hey, I was doing some research, and of course I've been watching you, the Under Armour camps, all the stuff when you came on the scene as a 14 or 15 year old, but Sports Illustrated did a feature on you. Chris Ballard, who's a great basketball writer, he did a feature on you when you were 15. And I'm just wondering, as you get ready for the probably the biggest step of your life now, the NBA, how much of you being in a spotlight at an early age, and we'll talk about your mom and dad, your dad played in the NBA, your mom was a great pro athlete herself. How much of you being in the spotlight from an early age, has that helped you kind of stay grounded, I guess?
Right. At first it was just weird for me. You know, I went from being, no one knew who I was, to a couple months later walking into gyms and taking pictures, and now it's gotten to the point of signing autographs, and now it's not even gyms. I mean, especially here in Arizona, going whatever it is to the mall, out to eat with friends. I mean, wherever I go, it's someone notices me. So at first it was weird, and I kind of just had to get used to it. But I think just the fact my parents are who they are, and they've helped me so much along the way, and they've kind of just, I think, all credit to them, really. They're the ones that have kept me grounded, kept me humble. That's one of the biggest things my mom preaches, is humble and kind. Actually, I have a poster right here. Not a poster, but pretty much a poster. It's humble and kind on it. It's got some song lyrics on there, a country song that my mom really likes. She got it made for me. And So really all credit to them. And I'm really just not that kind of person to be cocky or arrogant. So that's really all credit to my parents on that one.
You think the adjustment to the NBA will be easier because you've kind of already dealt with a lot of the stuff that maybe, you know, a kid from Murray State or, you know, someone else maybe hasn't dealt with the attention. And Arizona, too, going to U of A.
I think the off-the-floor stuff might be a little bit of an easier transition than it would be for someone from a smaller school.
Yeah.
But I think the on-the-floor stuff will be just as difficult for everybody. I think off-the-floor, like you said, just having that attention and recognition and dealing with that since a young age will definitely be a benefit for me.
Yeah. We all had the season end like unceremoniously, you know, I mean, you didn't get a chance to play in the NCAA tournament your 1 year, but as you look back on, your year at Arizona, let's start with this. What did you learn about yourself and your game, on or off the court that you benefited from the year in Tucson?
Well, I think first of all, I think I got a lot better defensively.
Your coach had something to do with that.
Oh, yeah. Coach Mo, he's a great defensive coach.
That's
for sure. I think all the freshmen coming in thought we were really guarding in high school.
Right.
And then we learned so much defensively. I think if we were to go back and look at our high school films, we'd be like, we weren't even trying. We weren't playing defense at all. So, I think that's one area I really improved in. And I think mentally I just matured a lot being up there by myself, having to deal with stuff, whether it's on or off the floor. I think I just grew as a person. And I think I learned a lot about myself in that aspect, just knowing who I really am. I was going to say I had a good time, and I think the people around me definitely helped me discover who I really am. I had some really, our team was just full of good kids, and they were always there. I think we made some friendships that'll last forever. So that's one thing I'm really proud of as well.
You played for a guy, I've known Sean Miller since he was probably 12 years old, seriously. Mm-hmm. And he's not an easy guy to play for in that he pushes you every day. And he was in his own way a great point guard. What lessons did you get from him as you look back on a year with him, someone who knew the position really well? What was that experience like? And by the way, you weren't the first great Arizona point guard in the last 30 years either. So there's a tradition there.
Right. You know, going back to what I said, I think defensively, he's a phenomenal coach. And I think things just like when I got there, kind of goes along with the defensive thing. I thought I was talking. I thought I was communicating, being loud. And the first couple weeks were hard for me, especially as a point guard, trying to learn everything at once, trying to learn how your teammates play, trying to learn the sets, the new words, the new, like how you use the words, everything. It's all different. New language, everything is different. So trying to learn that as a point guard and still be able to lead your team was really difficult for me at first, just because everything was so new. And one thing he was heavy on me from the jump was talking, being vocal. And I got a lot better at it. I think the first couple of weeks for me was just an eye opener. And that's one thing I'd say I really improved on. That's one thing that I think every great point guard needs to have. And I think I've kind of developed into that and gotten better at it, which is one thing I'm really grateful for. And another thing, it's a smaller thing, but in high school, you'd be able to come off screens, pick the ball up two hands and throw it wherever you want. So my first couple of weeks, I was trying that. And by the time I picked the ball up, I wouldn't have any options to throw to because everyone would get back. And the athletes in college are, everyone's bigger, faster, stronger. So the court feels so much smaller. So one thing Coach Miller and I used to do after practice, the first probably couple weeks to a month, was just 20, 30 minutes after practice, I'd be standing in one spot, dribbling the ball, throwing it to a wall, one hand across the chest, one hand over the top. And finally, I just got to the point where I was able to come off screens and throw passes without picking it up with both hands. And it made it a lot easier on me. It made it a lot easier on my teammates, being able to have time to catch and shoot or catch and make a read with a guy closing out. And that's one thing I really, really got better at there.
You see, when you're watching games now, are you studying these guys, the point guards, I mean, and watching how, like, for example, coming off pick and roll, throwing those passes, how much of that? I have a feeling you've been working on that.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the warm-ups every day with Vaughn. But Yeah, I am. I'm watching these games and stuff that I wouldn't have really noticed a year or two ago. I'm noticing now just how they throw the pass. You know, you rarely see a guy come off a screen, pick it up, two hands, look for an option, and then throw it. So stuff like that. And I think I watch Goran Dragic quite a bit just because he's so crafty. Especially
he's pretty good, man.
He's really good. He's really, really skilled. And yeah, that's someone I think I can take some of his game and kind of incorporate in mine in the ball screen and playing with patience, making the right reads. And he can kind of do it all out of that ball screen. So that's something that I like to watch.
Here's a question. This is a serious question. You know, you're going to play 82 games next year and you're going to have some clunkers. You'll be a rookie. You'll have some clunkers. You had a solid year at Arizona. But you had a couple clunkers.
Of course.
And as good a player as you've always been, you know, the reputation, the top 15, whatever you were ranked, I don't even remember. 42 points against Russia. We'll get to that later when you play for the Italian 16 team. How do you bounce back from adversity? Because you had some games this year where the pressure was on you and maybe you didn't play your best, and right, that will happen to you. So given that you're so competitive, which is I've always admired about you, how do you get that? How do you put that behind you? How do you learn from it? Because that's what you'll probably be doing your first or second year in the league.
Right. Well, I mean, for example, just to give you a little story, I think Gonzaga was one of my worst shooting games of the year. We lost by 3 at home. I think they were ranked top 3 at the time. It was a great game. I think I shot 3 for 20. And, you know, in my mind, I catch it, I'm open again, I'm shooting the 21st one. So the confidence is there. And I believe in myself completely. But after the game, I wasn't satisfied with how I played, with how I shot the ball. I mean, I think I had 8 points, 11 assists, barely any turnovers. I played solid. I just didn't shoot it well. So, I mean, something like that. After that game, we went to the locker room, had our team conversation. I took my jersey off, put a new shirt on, put new shoes on, and I went straight to the practice gym. I mean, I was some of the guys started to shower and stuff, and they're like, "Where are you going?" I'm like, "I'm going to shoot," because just in my mind, I was like, I can get better. This is a moment to get better. I mean, I struggled right now, and like, let's figure it out right now instead of waiting until tomorrow or the next day. Let's go get in the gym right now. And I got one of the GAs, went over there until about 11:30 at night, and just was thinking about the shots I missed, and I was trying to just duplicate those and work on those. So that's just an example. That's kind of how I think. I mean, you're going to have bad games. There's 82 games. You're not going to play well every game. So I think just to be able to understand that's going to happen, especially as a rookie, but just being able to learn from it, that's probably the biggest thing. Taking it with a grain of salt, understanding that there's moments to get better. And moments to learn. So just trying to take those to heart and use them the best way possible.
I'm not sure there's a great player in the NBA who hasn't done that after a game. And you're quite familiar with Dame Lillard because of Phil Beckner, our buddy down in Phoenix, who's a great teacher to game. And Nash, Dame Lillard, I've seen Jalen Brunson do it after Mavericks games where they'll just head to the practice gym and get shots up.
Yep.
You know, so that's good. All right. Here's what I'm excited about. You and I have something in common. We're both Italian.
Yes, sir.
if for those people listening on the podcast, your dad Pace, and I coached against your dad when I was a young coach, when he was at Utah.
Yep.
I was at Rhode Island. That's a long time ago. Your dad played in the NBA, and then he played in Italy,
right,
and met your mom there. And your mom was maybe the best athlete in the family. Because she must have been able to jump out of the gym.
Some say, yep.
As a pro volleyball player. And I've seen your mom, and she looks like she could jump out of the gym. How Italian do you feel as a Phoenix kid? You know, you go there, you go to the mall, you go to In-N-Out Burger, you go to the movies. But
right,
how Italian do you really feel?
you know, I still feel Italian just because the culture here at my house.
Yeah.
I mean, we have family dinner every night. My mom cooks a meal, an Italian meal every night. my cousin from Italy actually moved in with us probably about 4 years ago. And so we speak Italian quite a bit. My mom, I mean, it's it's mixed, really. My mom will say something in Italian, someone will respond in English, and then she'll respond in English, and we'll go back in Italian. It's just, it's all over the place. But so I still feel pretty Italian. And plus, I've been lucky enough to go back almost every year. And I talk to my family back home, back in Italy, quite a bit. You know, I'm going to say half and half.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good answer.
I am. I was born over there. First couple of years of my life were there. And I think most of my family's over there. I think I have more family there than here. So
do you have a recollection? You were born in Siena, beautiful mm-hmm. city. And then your dad, I think, finished his career in Sicily, where the Frascellas are from, by the way. Do you have any recollection as a baby, as a toddler, or no, not really?
As a baby, no.
Yeah.
Most of my memories of Italy are probably from the age 5, 6, 7 around.
Going back
there
to visit in the summer. Or?
Right. Cause we used to go every year, spend a month over there with my family and just at the beach every day. And it's kind of, it's cool. Cause the beach that we go to is kind of like everyone goes back every year to the same beach. So it's like the kids I've started seeing when I was 5 years old, I still know them. So I think that's part of the reason I still feel like I'm really Italian, just because I feel like I have almost a whole nother life over there, just with friends, and I got my family over there, and I've grown up around the same kids since I was little. So that's something I really cherish.
What was it like growing up with two pro athletes? Like, your dad obviously loves basketball. I mean, I love talking to him, but how early do you remember a ball in your hand, and how early did you take a liking to it? Did you play other sports? Was it always going to be, hey, this is what I want to do? My dad did this.
Yeah. How'd
that work out?
So I actually, my first steps, we were at one of my dad's games in Italy, and I took my first steps at halftime of his game on the basketball floor.
Got it.
So that's a pretty cool story, but I've just grown up around basketball. My dad, when we moved to Utah, my dad was working with the Jazz doing the pre half and post game show. So I was at about between 20 and 30 home games a year, getting there 2-3 hours early, sitting on the floor, watching the guys warm up. And I almost felt like I was a part of it, you know, just because I'm there so much and I know these guys, like these guys playing, I get to go watch them warm up. And Ronnie Price was one of my favorite players, just because he'd warm up and then he'd come sit by me for 10, 15 minutes. And it's cool because now, you know, I can call him whenever I need him. He calls me sometimes, and like it's a relationship that I'll have forever. And it started when I was 6, 7 years old, just watching him warm up, you know, so stuff like that. But I mean, I played everything growing up: football, basketball, baseball, soccer. I played all four until stopped playing football probably like 6th, 7th grade. Stopped playing soccer a little earlier than that, and baseball is my least favorite, so I stopped that even earlier. But I've always had a love for basketball.
That's family, so a family business.
Yeah, pretty much.
You got introduced to a guy who was pretty well known in Italy after a Jazz Laker game, and we've lost him this January, Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what? Did you actually talk Italian to Kobe Bryant after a game?
After the game, I said something in Italian. My dad was like, "There's going to be a bunch of people, so if you want to get his attention, say something in Italian." And I don't remember what I said, but I yelled something in Italian and got his attention.
That's pretty cool. Did you, given that you became who you are the last few years, did you get a chance to ever meet him again, and you know, and tell him who you were?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, I was probably 7, 8 years old, maybe 9. Got my jersey signed. It was one of the best experiences of my life, really. He got on a knee. They just beat the Jazz in the playoffs. And he was in a white suit, last one out of the locker room. Came over, got on a knee, and signed my jersey for me and talked to me for probably 5-10 minutes. And it's just something I'll remember forever.
Yeah, your dad played in the Italian league with Mike D'Antoni, a young guy named Manu Ginobili.
Manu, yep.
And Jelly Bean Joe Bryant, who was Kobe's dad. They were all kind of legends over there.
Right.
Back in the 90s, so it's kind of cool. I remember back in 2017 being at the under-16 USA trials, and I don't want to bring up a bad memory, but it kind of spawned some good memories,
right?
Because you got cut from a team, and you could have made it easily. There's no question. I know the roster. I'm not going to denigrate those guys. Some of them will go on and play against you in the NBA, and some, quite frankly, aren't as good as you now or were back then. But that's another story. But it opened up a door for you to play for the first time with the Italian junior national team, where you, you're a dual citizen because of your mom. And so you go back to Italy and play on that under 16 team, and you lead that tournament in scoring. There's other guys in this draft, by the way, that you played against. So first of all, tell me about putting on the Italian uniform for the first time and what that felt like. It had to be strange, right?
Right.
It had to be strange because you're used to playing in like, Dinos's, whatever, All-American Pangos camp.
Yep.
And now Pangos. And now you're in Serbia, I think, or Montenegro, I think.
Montenegro.
Montenegro you played. So what was that like wearing the Italian uniform?
It was awesome. It brought me a lot of joy. And I think most of all, it brought my mom a lot of joy. I remember, I think it was with the men's team, just when the first game we had, the Italian anthem came on and I was on the floor. I just remember looking up there and seeing my mom. She started crying. And that's something I won't forget. It's a feeling that I will remember forever. It's just, it's just a great memory to have. And I think making my mom proud like that is something that brings me the most joy in the world.
If it fits your schedule as you move forward, do you anticipate playing for the national team?
Of course. If it fits, if I'm called on, I'd love to be there.
You and my man Davide Moretti in the backcourt, who played at Texas Tech, and
yes, sir.
I don't know if Gallo will be around or DeTome. Those guys are getting long in the tooth. But before we talk about under 16 and ask you about some of those guys, you were, I think, the third. I couldn't tell if you were the third or fourth youngest player to ever play for the Italian national team. Like I read where it was fourth.
I think it was third or fourth.
Third.
I can tell you, yeah.
Well, you were 17. You were 17 years old, and you're playing for the Italian national team, grown men. And your mom was in the stands when she heard the anthem, and that's what you were referring to.
Right.
But what was that experience like playing at really a high level of basketball against men?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, I went from playing high school ball and some AAU to to playing with pros. And I think the biggest thing I learned was off the floor stuff. I think, on the court, I was able to adjust and learn. It took me a couple practices, but once I got in my rhythm, I was fine. But I think off the floor, I learned a lot just because all those guys over there, they're the best players in Italy. And I was at 17 years old, I was seeing how they take care of their bodies after practice, what they eat, how many hours of sleep they get, stuff like that. And I was lucky to be able to see that just because I was 17 years old and I'm able to learn from these guys and guys I look up to now. So it was a really good experience for me. It was different. It was pretty hard. Just the fact that I was 17 and these guys have families and kids and wives to go home to. And I was just in the dorm, 17-year-old, just waiting for practice, So it was different, but I learned a lot. It was fun.
That's cool. Next year when you're out on the court like an hour and a half before a game, you're gonna talk Italian to Melli and to Gallo?
Of course. Yeah.
were either of those guys I know they didn't play on the team. Were either of those guys at training camp at all or
No.
Okay.
Bellinelli, Gallo,
yeah.
DeTome, none of them were there.
Got it. So it'll be fun to see some of those guys next season.
Definitely.
Do you remember when you played under 16? I went back and checked. Killian Hayes from France, Teo Maladon, they're both going to be high draft picks. Mm-hmm. Denny Avdija from Israel. Do you remember those guys? Do you remember playing against them?
We played France. I do remember Killian and Theo. I don't remember. I don't think we played against Denny. But I think we were 5-2 and we lost to France and Montenegro. And those were the two teams in the championship that year. So they both had really good teams. France beat us, I want to say, by probably like 5-7. So it was a pretty good game. But, yeah, I remember playing against them.
You, there's another guy you played against twice that's going to Arizona, young man from Estonia, Kerr, yeah.
Yeah, that's my guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
Against him. First of all, give me a scouting report on him.
You know, it's been so long. I haven't seen him play recently, but he's kind of all around. He's a great, I know he's a great passer. Shoots it pretty well. His IQ is off the charts. I think he'll be all right at Arizona.
Are you going to get a chance? You should get a chance to talk to him before Coach Miller gets a hold of him.
Yeah. See, I was in Tucson a couple weeks ago, for some treatment with my chiropractor. I had a couple of days off. So I shot down there and got some treatment. And, he had just, my first day there was his first day there. He had just got there. And I hadn't talked to him since U16s. So, but we remembered each other and kind of chopped it up, and he's a funny dude. He'll be good at Arizona.
Because I checked, you played him twice.
Was it twice?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I remember one game. I don't remember the other one very well.
I thought it was twice, but I know that I think it was the last game you guys played.
Okay.
I think it was.
That might be right.
Yeah. Yeah. He had 14 and I think you had 18 or something, but, when you had 40, by the way, I got to ask you this. When you had 42 against Russia, what was that feeling like? Like a high school game? Like playing for Pinnacle?
It felt like throwing the ball in the ocean. it was just one of those nights, you know, everything felt good. And the guys around me were great too. They kind of understood I was feeling it, and they were putting me in good position. So it was a fun night. It was something I'll remember.
Yeah. What, as you get ready now for the biggest step of your basketball career, what are the things that you really feel like I have to keep, like, what are you working on to really improve? What's going to get you ready to step into a training camp and feel like you're ready to go?
I think the first thing is being in great shape. Cause without that, everything else pretty much goes out the window. So being in great shape, and being a consistent shooter. I've been right now, I kind of tweaked two or three things on my shot, and I'm shooting it better than I ever have. So just keeping up with that, staying in the gym and focusing on my shot. That's one thing. And then I think the other one's film. I think I have a really high IQ right now, and I think I make the right plays. So if I can just keep learning and keep growing mentally, I think my IQ can get even higher. And just being able to make the right plays. I think if you can make the right plays and knock down open shots, you'll always have a spot.
Yeah. You've had good trainers. I know I got to know Vaughn, and I know, have you done some work with Phil Beckner?
Yeah. Not super recently. I'd say about a month, 2 months ago.
Got it.
We had probably 15 workouts. I think that's part of the reason I'm shooting it so well. He's a great shooting coach. And, he's just a great teacher of the game. We had lunch a couple times and got in the gym together, and it was really fun.
Now just so people who listen, Phil was a college coach, and he's basically Damian Lillard's guru. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been close since Weber State. What are some of the things Phil's like? What are the lessons he's kind of imparted to you from somebody like Damian?
Yeah, a lot of his stuff is mental. You know, when he tells you to do something, he wants it done right away, the right way, and he's really on it. He's really strict. You know, and the one thing that he's always talking about is just be a dog, you know, be tough. A lot of guys act tough, try to be tough, but they're not really tough guys. So one thing he's kind of told me is just when you're on the court, be a dog. And that's something I've really liked about Phil, because he's really about that. And the way he trains is he's also a dog. So you gotta bring it every time with Phil.
Are you shooting 40 footers?
I wouldn't say 40 yet, but I'm getting back there.
Your range? Yeah. You working on that?
Yeah. Especially with Vaughn. I mean, I haven't been in the gym with Phil recently, but with Vaughn, we shoot regular. I mean, from the line, and then we'll step back and have to make 5 in a row, 10 in a row, whatever it is. But it's like I said, my jump shot's feeling better than it ever has right now.
You know, when I was a college coach, we always shot NBA threes and further out, because I like the overload theory. Then you step into the college line, it's a piece of cake.
Easy. Yeah, exactly. I think the other day I shot a high school three.
Yeah.
And it felt so close. And I was like, I don't know how I was missing these in high school.
Yeah, can't do that in the NBA, because that's a mid-range jumper.
Exactly.
They don't want you taking that unless you're Russell Westbrook. Oh, that's cool, man. Well, I think you've had good people in your corner. I always feel like – for guys like you who are such junkies, like sucking up everything you learn from like the player development guys, when you get to the league, there'll be guys like your trainer Vaughn and Phil. And I love watching the NBA now because guys I saw in college are so much better when they're 24, 25.
Right.
And I got a feeling, given the way you attack the game, that's going to be something that's going to be up your alley.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a gym rat. I love getting in the gym. I mean, pretty much everything that comes with the game. And like you said, I have great people in my corner. And I mean, they kind of just light the path for me. And it's really nice. It makes it a lot easier on me. And it makes it fun. You know, I got good people around me. They're not just good coaches. They're good people too. So they're just great people to have around. And like I said, I just love the game. So hopefully that's the path I take. Just keep progressively getting better every year.
Nico, seriously, man, thank you for the time. Been watching you forever, getting to know your family, and you got a great future. I know you're going to succeed because you love the game, and I wish you all the best of luck. And not only am I going to be watching you in the NBA, but someday maybe, you know, you'll be winning a gold medal for the Italian national team. I'll be right there cheering for you, man.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your support since I was a young kid. It doesn't go unnoticed. So I appreciate you, and thank you for that. And thanks for having me on here.
Keep working hard, man. We're rooting for you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, that was a great conversation with a very mature young guy, 19 years old, about to become an NBA player. Here in short order, and Nico Mannion, great flavor. You know, great young man, grew up in Phoenix, but born in Italy. We brought you a little Italian connection there, which I always appreciate, being Italian, and really, really good insight. So thanks to Nico Mannion for joining the World of Basketball podcast. As always, you know, subscribe to our Apple feed, rate us a 5. Let us know what you're enjoying about the podcast so we can keep bringing it to you each and every week. Because as you know, I am going to come to you next week from another place in my world of basketball.